You can turn to 2 Kings chapter 2 if you've not already done so. 2 Kings chapter 2, and the title of the message this morning is Show Thyself a Man. 2 Kings chapter 2, begin in verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore. I'm sorry. It's supposed to be 1 Kings. I told you wrong. Sorry about that. First Kings chapter 2. And I'll start reading again in verse 1. Now, hopefully you got it. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, say he, a man on the throne of Israel. So think about fathers this morning. You know, the role of a father is a very special role. I believe it's an important role. Those families that do not have fathers there are certainly at a disadvantage. Thank God for the mothers that still strive to fill the role there, even without a father there, but it definitely makes it much more difficult. There are many challenges there. This is a God-ordained role. And it's interesting that God uses the image of a father to portray himself at times as well. Our Father, which art in heaven. You know, the home is the foundation of our society. A lot of attacks against the home right now. A lot of people trying to undermine the importance of a family unit. And even, especially men, it seems like. But this is a God-ordained role. God chose this. And fathers are crucial in shaping that foundation of our nation. Men are unique creatures, right, ladies? Different perspective on things. God made us this way. That's what we are. Keep your finger here in Kings and go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Come right to the very beginning in verse 27. As God is creating man, he says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Look at chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made me him. So that thing about being made in the image of God is an important part of that. But then again, he repeats in verse 2, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Go to chapter 6, verse 19. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. And chapter 7, verse 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God hath commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. God made two genders, two sexes, well, whatever you want to call them. God made male and female. Human. And all of the creatures as well. God made just two. Anything else is an abomination. It's man-made, it's man-invented, it's an unnatural, unbiblical thing, and it's against God's design and purpose. God made us male and female, and God has specific roles that each of us are to fulfill depending upon the gender that we are. And again, there's just two. There's no more than that. But as David is here now in 1 Kings, I almost said 2 Kings again, 1 Kings chapter 2, he's at the end of his life. The second king of the nation of Israel. Saul was the first, the people's choice. But then God anointed David. At 30 years old, he came in to be king, and now he's 70. He reigned for 40 years in the kingdom of Israel. He brought the nation of Israel to the peak of their power. They are a world power at this time as he's preparing to turn the kingdom over to his son Solomon. And at this point, as Solomon's about to become king in his place, David gives him this final admonition, this challenge. And he stresses some things that are important, that he wants this young man, this son of his, to get, to understand, and to follow through with the rest of his life. He starts and he says in verse 2, I go the way of all the earth. You know, life is an uncertainty. We have no idea how much time is left. I lost my parents when I was 26 years old. 40-some years ago. I can't do the math in my head that quickly, but it's been a while. I guess it's 48 years ago. That was tough. And I had no idea when I came home from church that Wednesday night that my parents were gone, killed in a traffic accident. That's how unstable and uncertain life is. David got to live a rich, full life. But he knows now his time is coming to an end. And he says, here, Solomon, as I'm going the way of all the earth, everybody's going to die one way or another, or leave this earth anyway, it's going to end. And we need to be ready for that. We need to understand that. And understand how uncertain it is and how fleeting it is and how quickly it can come to an end. And dads especially, you don't know how much time you got with your children. It could be you or it could be them. And if you're taken out of the scene, have you done your part to prepare them for what's ahead of them? And that's what David is looking at now in his life. Have I done everything that I needed to do to get my son ready for what lies before him? For the great task of being the king of the greatest nation on the earth at that time. That was the world power at that time. All the rest of the world was in subjection to the nation of Israel. Have I done all that's necessary? You know, in Proverbs 22:6 it says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Dads, that's our responsibility. To have them ready for whenever God says, your time's up, that they can continue on. I go the way of all the earth, he said. Secondly, this. He says, be thou strong therefore. Strengthen yourself, Solomon. Be ready. Look at a couple of verses here. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 takes us to the end of the 40-year wandering in the wilderness after 430 years of being slaves in Egypt. Moses has led them that entire 40 years, brought them out of Egypt, and spent the 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness with them. But now his life is coming to an end, just like David's. And he speaks to Joshua, his replacement. And he says these words. Look at verse 6 of Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The same admonition that David is giving to his son is there in Joshua chapter 1. Be strong, courageous. Do what you're supposed to do. Be faithful to what God told you to do. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1. Paul the aged, as he's called in this, one of his last letters that he wrote before he was executed, writing to young Timothy, a young man, though not his physical son, his son in the faith. He'd led him to the Lord. He'd trained him. And now Timothy is pastoring the church at Ephesus. And Paul is writing to him with these words of encouragement. He says in verse 1 of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Be strong. That admonition is seen repeatedly throughout the scriptures. And oftentimes in this context of an older man preparing a young man to go out into the ministry, to go out and do what God's called him to do. He says, be strong. Life isn't easy. There's a lot of challenges that we face as we walk through this life. Times of difficulty, times of sorrow, times of struggle. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon. And it was written to his son. So you're seeing that what David did for Solomon, Solomon is now passing on to his own son. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1, he says this, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Now, if you know anything about Solomon, you know that he made a mess of his life. He did not really heed the admonition fully that his father had given him. But the thing is, at the end of his life, when he's now writing to his son in the role that his David had had some 40 years before, he's come back around. That again, that Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart." So Solomon, though he's made a mess of his life, and Ecclesiastes goes into more detail about that and the vanity of the life that he lived before he woke up, he's saying, "Look, son, I've learned some things. A lot of them the hard way. But I want you to take heed what I'm saying. My example has not been the best. But listen to what I'm saying." He says, if you'll keep my commandments, verse 2, "length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." He says, here's how you're going to be strong, son. Like my father admonished me to, like Moses admonished Joshua to, like Paul later would admonish Timothy to, be strong. But by faithfully sticking to the Word of God, life's not easy. But if you'll listen to God, if you follow Him, if you do what He asks you to do, you're going to find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. He goes on, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. That's where we trip up. Because God says one thing, and I think something else. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust God. Even when it doesn't seem to make sense, you trust God. I can't tell you the times that I've seen God working in my life and dealing with me about something, and I finally say, okay, God, doesn't make sense, but I'll put it in your hands. That Eileen gave testimony about Andy this morning, and I know he's still probably not where we'd like him to be spiritually, but when he was in high school, he turned 18 years old, he left home. He ran away. And that crushed us. In fact, I even told the church, if you want me to resign, I will, because my son's turned away, you know, and I'm not leading my house right. The church stood around us at that time and encouraged and helped us, and so thankful for that. But we went through that thing, and we struggled, and he was gone for about a month, I think. Maybe it was 2 months, but when he finally came home, he was there, but he wasn't really there. His heart wasn't. And things weren't going well at all. That was a miserable year. That was a rough year. Because he was rebellious the whole time and fought us every step of the way. And he wanted nothing to do with God. He just, nothing. And coming to about March or April of his senior year in high school, which this is all his senior year, he says, well, he'd applied to the University of Florida, the University of Texas, Penn State, and Liberty University. And his two choices really were Texas and Florida. And neither of them, or neither did Penn State, accepted him. The only one that accepted him was Liberty. And he says, well, I'll just sit out a semester because reapply in the winter, in January, and they usually let you in then. And I says, that's fine. I said, but when you graduate high school, if you're not going to high school or college in the fall, you're not living in a home. You're going to get out, you're on your own. Because Jesse was just a little tyke at that time, and Ben was still in high school at that time too, and he said, we can't deal with this anymore. He was being a bad influence on the rest of the kids. And, well, he didn't like that very much at all. This is one of those hard things in life I'm talking about this morning. And so finally he came to me after, I don't know, about a month or so, and he says, well, Dad, I'm going to go to Liberty. The kid that wants nothing to do with God, doesn't want God to be any part of his life, is going to a Christian college. And I thought, So, okay, God, I don't understand what's going on here. I don't know, but I believe you're doing something, God, for him to be willing to do that. And long story short, he went to Liberty that fall, and he was down there, and they were having, I think it was Spiritual Emphasis Week in October. And I got a phone call from him. In fact, it was a Tuesday night. We had Good News Club that day down at the Penns Valley, and he called me. And he was asking me about eternal security in the King James Bible. He said, I'm talking with some friends, and he had some questions about that. What have you done with my son? Talking about the Bible? And we talked a little bit longer, and finally he says, Dad, I'm sorry. Sorry for what I put you and mom through. And he says, this has been good for me down here. And You know, that would have not been my choice of a Christian school for him to go to. But God had a plan. And that we need to trust him and not lean to our own understanding. Trust God, being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let's read on here, verse 7. He says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Folks, I can't stress enough the importance of this book in your life. To you take and sit down and read this thing, even if it's just a couple verses, every day, spend some time in God's Word. Let God speak to you. Let God direct you the steps that you need to take through your life. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Look at Matthew chapter 11. One of the passages God used before I was saved to bring me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I remember reading, my coworker gave me a Bible one night after work. I'd been asking him some questions. And he says, "I can't all answer all your questions. Read this." I was raised Roman Catholic. I'd never had a Bible in my hands before that. And so I said, okay. That was a Wednesday night. And so I just sat down and Bible roulette. I just opened it because I had no idea where to start. And this is one of the first passages that I came across. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I won't go into the detail about the story behind that, but I mean, that was God met me where I was at in my life at that time. I was physically weary and heavy laden, the work that I was doing at that time. And it was just like, whoa. And the more I read, I spent several hours that night just randomly opening up and reading. And every time I opened a page, it was like God met me right there where I was in my life. I came across 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, "Doth not even nature teach you that it's a shame for a man to have long hair?" My hair was down to my shoulders at that point. Thursday, I got up and I went to work, and on the way home from work Thursday, I got a haircut. Because God says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. I've been the shop freak for 2.5 years. Now I got a haircut, not quite as short as mine now, but pretty close. Why? That's what God said. And I learned right away, even before, I didn't get saved till that Sunday. That was Thursday, starting Wednesday. And Thursday and Friday, I just kept in this book. And more and more and more, God just met me. There's power. This is not just a book. It's God's word, folks. And we need to be strong in God by being taking heed to this, listening to what God has to say to us. Look at John 14. John chapter 14. In these chapters, I know I've said this a lot of times, but I really hope that everybody understands just the setting, the context of John 14, 15, and 16. As Jesus is about to be betrayed and crucified, and he's got the disciples gathered together out in the Mount of Olives, or not the Mount of Olives, I'm sorry, in the garden. During the day, he's out on the Mount of Olives teaching the masses. At night, he pulls the disciples aside those days leading up to the crucifixion and spends time with them, teaching them, preparing them for what's about to take place. And so he says in chapter 14 this, beginning in verse 27 of John, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Because he knows that what the disciples are about to face is going to be earth-shattering to them. He says, "Guys, you're going to need this. And I'm leaving this for you, this peace." He says, "Don't be let your heart be troubled, neither be, let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. I'm preparing you. You don't understand this. Don't lean on your own understanding. Just trust me and receive what I'm offering to you." Look at chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 31. The final words as he's alone with them. He prays in chapter 17. Then he's betrayed. Verse 31, John 16. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." And you're thinking, what are you talking about? We've stuck with you all the way through all of this, and we're going to be scattered and leave you alone? No way! As Peter is ready to pull the sword out, and he cuts off the servant of the high priest's ear, to show he's not going to be scattered. And just a short time later, three times he denied the Lord. See, the Lord knows. He knows our hearts. He knows what's going to happen. And he's preparing them for that. He says, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, now is come, that ye should be scattered, every one to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world." And that's our God that David's trying to get his son to trust in. That Solomon then turns to his son and tells him to trust. And fathers, it's the God that we ourselves personally need to be trusting in, being strong in, as an example to our kids, as well as to the benefit to ourselves. He says, be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. And then we're to pour on the whole armor of God. Now go back to 2 Kings chapter 2, 1 Kings chapter 2. I don't know why I got that stuck in my head. I guess there's nothing else there, and that's all that comes up. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2. "I go the way of all the earth, be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man." Job 38:3, it says, "Quit yourselves like men. Be a man." In this effeminate world that we live in, where a man's supposed to let his feminine side get in touch with that, no, the Bible says, show yourself a man. But what is a man? What's the measure of a man? Is it by our physical feats? Or is there something more to it than just that? Certainly there's something much more to it than that. Someone has said this, "The strength of a man's virtue should not be measured by his physical exertions, but by his habitual acts." One of those habitual acts ought to be time in this book every day. Time in our knees before God every day. God, I don't know what lies before me for this day, but you do. Direct my steps. Lead me in the right path. Help me to make the right decisions today, God. Help my heart to be sensitive to your Spirit's prompting so I know what you want me to do, the direction you want me to go, the people maybe I need to speak to about Jesus Christ. Show thyself a man. What's the measure of a man? Look at 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. The prophet Samuel has been a counselor to King Saul, anointed Saul as king of Israel, the first king of Israel. But now, things are turning to David. And he's been sent to the house of Jesse, and he's to pick the replacement for Saul. And look what he says here in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel and verse 7. Well, start in verse 6. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. So he knows why he's there. He knows where he's to be. And he comes, and the first one of Jesse's sons that comes is this Eliab. And he looks at him and says, man, there's king material right there. Well, that was simple, Lord, thanks. Verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I refused him. It's not about physical stature. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Later, Solomon told his son, my son, give me thine heart, and let thy eyes follow my ways. It's the heart that's important. The strength of a man's virtue, not measured by physical exertions, but by his habitual acts. Then he goes on, he says in 1 Kings chapter 2, keep the charge of the Lord and walk in his ways. As Solomon later instructed his son, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Dads, the greatest thing that you can do for your kids, sure, we need to try to give them an education. Try to do all we can in a physical sense to prepare them for this world. But the most important thing we can do is bring them to Jesus Christ. Because without that, everything else is futile. No matter what they might achieve, or no matter what they might accomplish on this earth, if it's without Jesus Christ, they've got an eternity in hell that's facing them. And all that's accomplished here is going to be burnt up. And so will they. Dads, make sure your kids know Jesus Christ as Savior. And live your life in such a way as to draw them to the Savior and not drive him away. One more quickly in 1 Kings chapter 2. He says, verse 3, to keep the charge of the Lord, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That's where true prosperity comes from, is by following God, finding out what God wants you to do in your life, and then doing that. Then he says in verse 4 this, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. God gave a promise to David, making him king, and that his seed would always occupy that throne in Israel, if they followed God's commandments. And Solomon broke. Solomon turned away. Now, he didn't see the consequence of that, but his son Rehoboam did. And under King Rehoboam, Solomon's son, David's grandson, the kingdom split into the north and south, Israel and Judah. And from there, it went downhill. Till in 726, 725, the northern kingdom of Israel was taken captive by the Assyrians. 586 BC, the southern kingdom was taken captive by the Babylonians. And for 70 years, the people of Israel were out of their land. And even to this day today, they're suffering because of the departure from the Word of God of the descendants of David. He says, this is where your success is. This is where your prosperity is. This is what God wanted to continue. And now, we're not Israel. We haven't taken the place of Israel. Israel is still God's chosen people. God's still got a plan and purpose that he's going to fulfill in them. But in this time in which we live, the Christians are God's people. The Jews are enemies of God. We're to pray for them. They're still his chosen people, but they're his enemies. They're our enemies. We're to love them and care for them, but they're away from God. But God wants a godly seed to be sought in our midst as well. And that's part of what we saw this past week with these, I still think of you guys as teenagers, a lot of you, and you're not teenagers anymore, but starting to step up and continue the church on. He says that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee a man on the throne of Israel. What a promise. What an opportunity was there for Solomon. And he missed it because he turned away from God. What an opportunity we have and our children for God to seek a godly seed. And dads, that responsibility rests on our shoulders. A father models for a child the role of God in their life. In a lot of ways, a child forms their image of God by the image that we as fathers present to them. We're not in the place of God, but that's, especially as a younger child, that helps to mold that image of God for them. Let it be a good image. They need to know that there is a God who is everything and who is all that they need or will ever need. Dads, that's our responsibility. Let's stand, please, for prayer.